For the sake of simplicity, all the hitherto philosophies can be boiled down to the efforts to find an appropriate theory of minds. This boil down cannot be perfect, but it can be defended that it captures the main content of all existing philosophies. With the help of a theory of the mind, the upcoming synthesis might not be strictly exhaustive, but the many breakthroughs and advances to be made from it would probably be enough to convince readers to accept the phrase of grand synthesis. The theme of philosophy throughout history can be thought of as the study of the relationship between mind and matter, or between subjectivity and objectivity. However, this theme was only realized after many twists and turns. Early Greek philosophy focused on things outside the mind, and developed many theories about the origin and nature of the physical world, or the universe. Parmenides, in particular, argues, in today's parlance, that behind many phenomena, there is an unchanging essence that controls everything, and that the phenomena are false passers-by, and only the essence is the truth, something that really exists. Therefore, he called this unchanging essence being. In contrast, people's thoughts are just opinions. Parmenides clearly recognized that the human minds are heterogeneous and fickle. In the ancient Greek city-states, the social order based on the then real ideas of real actors was liberal and democratic. Truth, or high-quality knowledge, can only be discovered or developed through the specific competitions and debates of the actors involved. Such processes are often slow, conflictual, tortuous, and precarious, especially for those who have more knowledge. Therefore, Socrates continued Parmenides' style, raising highly the banner of reason, and striving to prove and praise the role of reason. But what is reason? When the question went deeper, his successors, Plato and Aristotle, had to go in different directions. Plato emphasized the contemplative, deductive, and theoretical approach, believing that human could reach the ultimate truth, while Aristotle emphasized the process of knowing by advocating formal, inductive, and empirical routes. This was a glaring split in philosophy during the Greek period. In the centuries that followed, the separation of being from opinions intensified. Being has evolved into concepts such as ideas, substance, God, absolute, science, and so on, and its posture of overarching all other types of human thought and trying to engulf them has not fundamentally changed by far. The epistemological philosophy, initiated by Descartes, changed the attitude of the previous philosophy centered on external objects and placed the human mind in the first and central position. The gist of epistemological philosophy is that what is called being or truth is nothing else in the first place, but an idea in the human mind, a thought. However, this understanding alone is not enough, because thoughts may not be in line with external objects, and in fact, there are plenty of imperfect thoughts. Since the truth, as the destination of thinking processes, has been presumed, the processes of development of knowledge from low quality to high quality seem only to confirm the attraction of the truth. This attraction, in turn, highlights the importance of methods. Thus, methodology became the focus of then philosophies. The crucial turning point was made by Kant. In a difficult and devious way, Kant implied that human beings think only by using the structures, resources, or tools inherent in the brain to act on information from the outside world, and that since this, a priori, things in the brain are established and limited, human cognitions can reach some kind of certainty or consensus, but it is not the truth of the world, and that there is an unbridgeable gap between ideas and the truth. This is a categorical repudiation of the traditional doctrine of being. This Copernican revolution reversed the course of philosophy that has lasted over 2,000 years.